Welcome to the first ever episode of the Whichever Path podcast. This bi-weekly podcast brings you an anthology series in which you, the listeners, are deciding the fate and path of the protagonists and antagonists of each story. We'll be releasing these after we tabulate your various choices, and we hope that you'll enjoy, or at the very least, accept the consequences of your actions. This first story is called Squirrels.
It wasn't the year of the squirrel. 93 and 89 were littered with roadkill. Pods of six or seven of the things at a time, all in various stages of decomposition. I took a tally one Wednesday night and got up to 307, round trip from Manchester to Bradford. That's counting actual carcasses and not the fluffy dried piles of fur or whatever else was lying on the asphalt. Fall was in bloom at that time, and the bright orange and reds from the trees lining my route relaxed me enough to drown out the rest of the world. Past the shouting, and the shooting, and all those people that are just making their way to hell, I could see that nature was hobbling along. I hope it's going to outlast us. Anyway, whenever I reached Concord, I shut my radio off, muted my notifications, and waited for my passengers. Sometimes I'd wait an hour, sometimes 10 minutes. The car was supposed to be empty of anything remotely identifiable, and I, according to the explicit instructions of my job, had to be the same. So I cut my hair a quarter inch all around my head, not too long, not too short, made sure there was no product. I wore a pale blue collared shirt, a blazer. Any brand names were right out, not that I wasted my money on them. The clients were to have difficulty picking me out of a lineup. That's how it had to be. Also, I needed to be on call on the weekends 24/7 in case they had a rush client who just really couldn't wait. I parked near the bookstore on Main, next to the statue of a little boy holding a turtle. It was a decent enough landmark, one that clientele could find easily without really calling attention to themselves. As for the clients themselves, they were always easy to spot. Looks of confusion and wide-eyed scanning of our streets. Occasionally you'd get one or two who'd look like they'd been on the run for a while. But they all looked the same. They all looked afraid. And maybe they should have been. I had never run into the police, though I was told it may come one day. And if it did, I was to cooperate and make sure I didn't really know much about the person I was driving. There was one time, though, some young white kid in the back of my car, his wet blue eyes straining to take in everything around him. I knew he looked a lot like the mugshot that I'd seen on so many of my friends' feeds before I cut off social media. If it was him, he had cut his stupid blonde curls off, and I was tempted to say something, to confront him and be like, "I know what you did." But if I were wrong, I'd be fired. And if I'd be right, I'd make headlines for an assault, not my first on record, and I'd still get fired. And besides, how many of these clients that I drove had done worse? I'll tell you about the worst one. It was a Saturday night. The Capitol Dome shined proudly at dusk. I had arrived in town early and had a hot dog, got my hair cut, and then parked. The Halloween decorations of the bookstore caught my eye, and I thought about Monique and how happy she looked with her new instant family. We had broken up nearly 3 years ago, and she adopted her new guy's kids. She hated kids, she told me when we got together. People lie. With nothing to do, I just kept fixating on Monique, remembering how she laughed at my jokes, the hikes, and the way that we had promised to be together always, like most 20-somethings promise before life tests you. And then it did, and then we broke up. I inhaled as deeply as I could, and then I released the breath, returning to the present, and just decided to fixate on the details. My car smelled clean, and there was no dust on the dash. My fingernails were trim. My sleeve had mustard on it. Great, I thought. I licked the cuff trying to clean it, but it just darkened the smudge into a wetter brownish yellow. I took it off, cursing quietly, and stopped looking for my client as I put the jacket on my passenger seat. I looked at my face in the mirror and made sure there wasn't any more mustard near the corner of my mouth or even on my forehead, because who knows, right? And that's when the knock on the window came. It startled me, and I jumped and rolled the window down.
Are you from the farm?
I already hated that voice. I am, sir. Hop in.
Open the trunk, please.
I nodded and popped the trunk, and I raced out of the car to help him, but he was already putting his suitcase in. He was wearing a nice trench coat, slacks, and he was wearing these matte black boots that, if you hadn't been looking hard enough, you might have mistaken them for dress shoes, but the left cuff of his pants were caught on the pull loop in the back. Would you like some water? I pointed out the bottles in the trunk. His response was to slam my trunk down fast, grazing my knuckles as I pulled away. And he glowered at me, but not with a face that said he was afraid, but this cold, dispassionate gaze like I'd been served to him on a plate, and I wasn't what he ordered.
We have 30 minutes to go, right? Let's get to it.
I opened the door for him, and he nodded.
Better.
I slammed it and got into the car. I put my Bluetooth in. Should the farm call me, I was to avoid speakerphone. Clients were meant to be with their thoughts, or at least kept out of any business of note. All my answers were to be yes, no, the ETA, or if something wasn't right on my end, understood. We pulled away from the curb. I kept my eyes on the road, but I could feel whenever the client's eyes were on the back of my head. He didn't shift in his seat, although I heard him sigh a few times, which made me look into the rear view, only to see him looking at me like I was dirt. Fuck him, I thought. Once we hit 89, the sun had finally disappeared, and the pale blue light of night enveloped us. There were no streetlights for a few exits. As we passed the lit-up exit for Concord Hospital, he spoke to me.
Well, how long have you worked for them?
Sorry?
How long have you worked for them?
I've been driving people for a year.
Oh, so what, they decided that you were finally ready for the job, or like one of your older relatives aged out? Is that how this family business stuff works?
No. I'm not related. I found the job online.
Really? That's troubling.
We didn't talk for a few minutes. He had stopped sighing, and as we passed exit 4, there were a pile of squirrels laying near the off-ramp.
You at least know what they do up there? Like, how does it all work?
I don't know, I said.
You don't wonder what people get up to?
I appreciate the people wanting discretion.
Smart man, he said. Do people often talk to you?
Mostly small talk. You know, what people usually talk about.
But not what they're going up there to do.
I swallowed hard. Sometimes they ask me what to expect.
And you say?
That it'll all be explained up there.
And then they all come back to town with you, satisfied and happy.
I'm not the only driver.
What's your name?
Ethan. I lied. He laughed. That type of laugh that makes your stomach turn.
Ethan. You know, they probably don't care about you.
It's a right-to-work state.
What?
I mean, I can quit. They can fire me. This can end now. I could pull over, let you out at the next exit. I could see his head nod in the rear view.
Ethan, do you believe in God?
Sir, would you like the radio?
Well, I do,
he said.
I believe. I don't really care at the moment if it watches us or not, but I saw some things, some really interesting things, Ethan, and now I believe.
I didn't say anything. I watched the yellow lines on the road, saw a few squirrels. The moonlight was shining through the trees to our right. We had 30 minutes to go, and he wasn't shutting up.
I'm not religious. I'm fairly logical. People, scientific theories, everything's got a pattern that comes easy to me. You crave simplicity. You want to just do your job. You're a driver, but you're obviously quick-witted. So life didn't turn out the way you probably had planned, if you planned at all. You don't look like a planner. I see that. And you're driving, you're not driven. That's a difference. And so I'll tell you this, and maybe it might actually motivate you to do something. I saw hell. Okay, I said. It's real. I know. I saw someone dragged there. Her fingernails scraping on the floor, one of them coming off her middle finger as she gripped the door jamb of her closet. I saw it. No explanation. I have none. It had been a normal date, one I purchased from time to time, you know, to cleanse the palate. And I thought it would end like it always did, but she said all these words, and I thought they were just nonsense. You know, the kind that they make when, you know. I noticed that she's, like, just kind of scrunched up in this weird little circle on the floor, this this stupid painted circle. And I knew that she had made it, you know, herself, and it just looked so ridiculous. But I was worried that we'd be overheard by a neighbor, and so I pulled her up, and she screamed, and I threw her. Just threw her towards that open closet. And I was getting ready to shut her up, and then something did it for me. It just grabbed her, and when it did, I just stepped into her little circle. I mean, I don't know why, but it took her, and when it did, I just saw this void. You know, no stupid jackets, no piles of shoes that people like her have, just nothing. And then it was all gone. I had escaped, you know, like I escape everything usually, and you should have seen it. It was just so vindicating, really. I mean, do you... My phone rang. Sorry, sir. Phone. Hello?
Hi, John. Are you on schedule?
Yeah.
Have you been followed?
I looked in the rear view. Just darkness. No, ma'am.
Just yes or no, John. Is the client disturbing you? Is there a problem?
I had to answer.
Your choices for this week are yes, no, or understood. We'll be putting the poll up right at the launch of this podcast. And majority rules. And you'll be back with the next episode, we hope, of Whichever Path. Until next time, choose wisely.